Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, September 11th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 53, the fourth paragraph. That's the bottom of the page. That was natural. Goes over on to page 54. And we're reading that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Reggie O., the 12 Traditions, Penny L.C., and the readers of the text are Robin D.Z. and Leslie M. And the share ID for Tuesday, September 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,379. That's 13379. And for this morning's Wednesday meeting, September 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,385. That's 13385. Our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and our announcements coordinator is Leslie W. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Reggie.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles and all our affairs. Grateful to be of service this morning.
Thank you, Reggie O. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and these are the OA 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and that's the star 1 button, not the mute button on your phone. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 53, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page. That was natural, reading that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Robin DZ to get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. This is Robin DZ, recovered compulsive overeater from Simpsonville. That was natural, but let us think a little more closely. Without knowing it, had we not been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith? For did we not believe in our own reasoning? Did we not have confidence in our ability to think? That was but a sort of faith. What was that but a sort of faith? Yes, we had been faithful, objectively faithful to the God of reason. So in one way or another, we discovered that faith had been involved all the time. And I remember, you know, back before I started the program, I had absolute faith that every new diet was going to be the diet. Every new program was going to be the program that did it for me forever. And it was going to fix the problem, and I wasn't going to have an issue with food anymore, and I could have my cake and eat it too, you know, and full faith that that was going to happen. But it never did. It would last for a little while, and then something would go haywire, and I would, you know, fall short and lose my momentum, gain everything back that I had lost. And it wasn't until I found this program and found out about the twist of the mind and the allergy of the body that I was able to figure out part of my problem. But still, without faith in a higher power that has more strength than me and can guide me through each day, I still would not have succeeded even knowing those two things. So faith is very important. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Robin DZ, for getting us started. I'll now open the lines up for those of you who'd like to share on this one paragraph.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Lisa G.
Lisa G.
Denise J.
Denise J. Oh, you're being so good to me today. Anyone else?
Christy G.
Christy G.
Maya K.
Maya K. One more. If not, we'll go with those five. All right. I have Julie.
Penny LC.
Penny LC. Okay, I'll put you down there, Penny. Last one.
Thank you.
All right. All right, so I have Julie E.B., Lisa G., Denise J., Christy G., Maya K., and Penny L.C. Julie E.B., followed by Lisa G. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado today. And, claiming my seat as an agnostic, you know, I think that this chapter is a miracle because although I grew up in a faith and practiced a faith, taught about faith, I think that I go back over and over again to my own reasoning. And I was just sharing something with someone this morning about how we do rely on our reason, and we're lucky as we're working steps 10, 11, and 12 that our higher power tells us, the awakening prayer tells us, hey, clear the motives from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking, and then God's given us a brain to use. Well, that's no small task. Self-pity was the language of my life, and when the Bill story says self-pity is like quicksand, I'll ask people often, you know, so self-pity, how do you get out? And they'll say, we stop moving. Well, absolutely not. That just keeps you from going further in. Someone else has to reach out one of those hands from our reading yesterday and reach in to get you. So when I get in self-pity, I'm on the phone. I don't expect to get myself out. When I'm in dishonesty, I'm testing my ideas with other people. When I'm in self-seeking, which is pretty common for me right now, thinking, giving, expecting a return. You know, I gave my son 18 years and 10 months of time, and now he's off in college and busy doing other things. What? Oh, goodness gracious. I think he should be there to reassure me, but I have a higher power that's bigger than that. And so I'm looking at what that different dependencies are. And this reason, I trusted it to help me get good grades, help me get a good job, tell me who I should marry and what I should do. But when I was thinking about a higher power, it was letting me down because my reasoning was only a consciousness, awakeness to my misery, to how painful my life was, and that just demanded the food. When I started to seek spiritual help, as it says on the bottom of page 29, with honesty, openness, willingness, then all of a sudden, I could turn my attention and my action to something different. So, you know, if you're in the food today, you've blotted out your intolerable situation as best you can. That was reasonable for you. But if it's not working, feel free to seek. What's offered here, find someone who has what you want and connect, because there's a whole different way to live where you can get into lots of things, but you can also have a pathway out. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Lisa G., followed by Denise J. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Mo. Lisa G. from Pink Springs, Texas, and oh, man, this whole chapter's been really hard for me because I've always thought that I had tons of faith and a higher power. But in reality, my faith has been myself. My faith has been in what I could figure out and what I could do, what I could achieve, how many lives I could save, which, by the way, I haven't saved any. And in this one paragraph, I have this thing written in
Lisa, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better?
That's better, yes.
Okay. I just have to hold my right hand up really high. God. So what I said was, you know, I can believe in anything. I can believe in a lie. And I have created this pathway in my brain that's a big fat lie that I fall into all the time. And I've fallen into it for half my life. And I'm 64, so it's a long time. And it's not working. It's not working. You know, I've been the center of my universe for a really long time and thought that I could achieve all kinds of things and be God. Not just the God of reason, but that I could be God. And it's not that I thought I was God. It's just I thought that if I believed enough and if I prayed enough, that certain things would come to pass. So when those things didn't come to pass, I began to lose, not really my faith in a higher power, but my hope in a higher power. And so what I actually just sort of decided the other day, and I hope I can decide this every day because it's a new decision every single day, I think, is, you know, just to tell myself to shut up. Shut up. The stuff you're thinking is bull. It's not working for you. It's made you sick. It's made you a sick person. And you don't want to be sick anymore. You want to be well. You want to get out of my own reasoning and let somebody else run the show, because my running the show has basically paralyzed my life. And yeah, I can work, and I've had a child, and I have a husband, and maybe to the outside world I look like it's all going okay, but inside my stomach, inside my heart, it roils around in there. And just working these 12 steps, and I'm recovering right now. I'm not recovered yet, but it's something's starting to change a little bit, and that's all I want to say. Just work these steps, because it works a lot better than the way my mind works on its own. Thanks. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Lisa. Denise J., followed by Christy G. Good morning, Denise.
Hi, this is my first time sharing. Wow, I listened to a lot of recordings, so thank you. You know, just faith. You know, what else is there? I remember when I came into program, I thought I had a great religion and I had a great practice with my faith. And the truth is that I had no intimate connection with my higher power. I just thought that God was up in the sky and would... just, you know, he's kind of there and taking care of the world. And I know today he cares so much about me. My higher power cares about me. And my higher power wants to take away my fear and wants to take, you know, just wants me to live in his will. You know, and that is one thing that I have learned, is that my higher power will help me not only with my food, but with every other thing that steals my peace. And I'm just so grateful for that. I just am really excited to learn even more from all of you, and that's all I have.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing, Denise. Christy G, followed by Maya K. Christy, good morning.
Good morning. This is Christy G in Southern California, and super grateful and blessed to be on the line. I listen faithfully to the recordings every day because I'm usually doing my devotions and my prayers and stuff at this time. And for some reason, God got me up super early this morning. So I'm excited to share. And what I have to say about this is that not only before recovery and before program, which I just came to program about 2.5 years ago, not only then did I rely on my own reasoning with diets, as was mentioned earlier, and thinking, like, that's what I had was my reasoning, and being a control freak, that's what I kind of go back to now. But even in recovery, I try to rely on my own self, as a lot of people in programs say, my finite self instead of infinite God. And the cool thing about program is that sometimes we recognize that before it's too late, and that happened within this last 24 hours. Even though I'm in recovery, I still get nervous sometimes when I'm in situations where I can't control my food, as far as, like, I have no control over what's being served. And we got the opportunity this weekend to go with our church to build a house in Mexico. And yesterday I just kind of freaked out and I used other excuses, but the main reason was I was afraid of not being able to stick to my plan of eating because of the food that was going to be served that I had no control over. And so I told my husband I wasn't going to go and he would just go. And just within less than, probably about 12 or 15 hours, God said, you're relying on yourself. And I got this overwhelming feeling that I needed to go. And I think that's part of the reason why he said, get up, get on the line, get in prayer, and rely on me and not rely on myself and my own reasoning, because I would miss out on life if I continued to rely on my own reasoning and rely on my own self instead of relying on God. And that having that faith coming into program, I had faith already. I had faith in God, but I didn't have the kind of faith that I have now. And the kind of faith that leads me into prayerful decisions for anything. And for this, I just said, oh, I'm not going. I didn't take it to God and I didn't rely on him for the answer. And so I'm just thankful for that reminder today and for being able to be on here with all of you wonderful people. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christy G. Maya K., followed by Penny L.C. Maya, good morning.
Hi, I'm Maya, recovered in New York. I really like this reading. It's very interesting because it's talking about how we all live on faith. You know, we believe in things we read. We believe in philosophies and whatever up to now. And I think about sometimes people in program who almost they don't want to give the higher powers thing a shot. And I'm like, well, what have you got to lose? You know, and I didn't grow up religious or anything. So I guess it's easier for someone who didn't grow up with a certain way of looking at God, because my father would just say God is love, and then he wasn't there, so I had a little resentment towards that kind of God, but that was it. Otherwise, I just thought God is love. And but I'm so grateful to be able to just say, all right, God, I want to do your will. I want to stop messing things up in my life and just give it a try. And, not, it's like a God of my understanding, nothing I was taught, and just to try it out, this power, and it's just changed my life. And the more I do that, it just seems like the more miracles happen in my life. And it's an amazing program, and the more I stay in the program, the more that power carries me where I need to go. Even if I've been struggling, and I've been in program 30 years, in hindsight, I've seen that there's like a higher power that's carried me through where I've needed to be or go, or if I've needed, a doctor or medicine or whatever I've needed. And sometimes what I think I wanted wasn't good for me, or sometimes, I was meant to, have my daughter with maybe the guy I wasn't meant to marry. But, whatever, everything I don't understand all the time. And there's a prayer I like that you can ask God for anything, and God will say yes, yes, but not now, or no, I have something better. And to me, those are all loving answers. And I really believe that God is love. And if it doesn't sound like love in a meeting, I don't think it's from God. That's just my opinion. But, I don't think God's shaming or punishing. And that's just my experience. I just try to keep the faith no matter if it looks confusing. And usually it ends up making sense somewhere along the line. I'm trying to have faith today. I'm grateful for my abstinence.
Time.
And that's it. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Maya Kay. Before I take Penny LC, I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 53, the bottom of the page, the fourth paragraph. That was natural, and we're reading through that one paragraph only. Comments will be on that paragraph. After Penny, I'll take more names. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I appreciate this paragraph because it's letting me know I have the ability to have faith. You know, that was my reasoning. My reasoning allowed me to have a decision-making process. The only catch was it was also self-reliant. That's the part I didn't understand. So once I've come to understand now that relying on myself was not going to work, then I'm able to realize, okay, and here's a solution. I can rely on my higher power. Okay, well then I can, since I'm used to having faith in my own process of reasoning and decision making, and that was self-reliance, all I have to do is transfer that faith to the God of my understanding and be able to trust in that God reliance that my decision-making process will be guided by that power greater than myself. That's pretty nice because then I can kind of, you know, just kind of pause a bit and I can trust that the decision is being made or has been made for me and I don't have to stress about trying to make the decision. All I have to do is ask. It's a pretty great process, really. It in some ways it makes it easier if I'm willing. If I'm willing to trust and rely and have that faith instead of in myself, just transferring that same faith to that higher power. And that's really what every, you know, my whole sense of being, my whole spirit has been trying to do for me all the way along, but without me realizing it. You know, it's not God trying to get in. It's really God trying to get out because God is within me, I believe. And so now that I've discovered the faith and I understand that higher power is within me, what an amazing process this is. I can just watch it unfold and do my part, take the action steps that I need to take to ask and to listen for that guidance. Grateful that I can trust that process today. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you much. Thank you very much, Penny LC. I'll now open the lines up for those who'd like to share in the second round.
Leslie M.
Who's that again?
Deborah R.
Deborah, was it Deborah?
Yes, Deborah R.
Deborah R.
Kathleen O.
Who was that?
O.
Denise B. And then
Maureen.
Beatrice. And I heard a man in there.
Anthony X.
Anthony. One more.
Maureen B.
Maureen. Was that a Maureen?
Yes, Maureen S. Thank you.
Maureen
Irene
S. Okay,
B.
We'll stop there. Irene, I'll put you down. We'll see.
Thank
All
you.
All right. All right, I don't have all these names. I have Deborah R. and I have a Kathy something or other, Denise, Beatrice O., Anthony, and Maureen. I don't know who the second person was. It was a Kathy somebody or other. I half wrote the name down, but you'll help me. All right, Deborah R., you're up. Deborah R., press star one.
I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. 53. That was natural, but let us think about a little more closely. Without knowing it, we had been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith. You know, I had to act as if I had faith. And this paragraph kind of is trying to show me that maybe I had faith all along. I just didn't know I had it. And it grew on me where I could feel it, kind of identify it, and not be afraid of it. It was kind of nebulous at first. And, you know, I wanted to believe. And as I learned later on, you know, we've got faith all along. You know, what is it faith in? The stars, the sunrises, the sunsets, the awesomeness of nature? Or is it in negativity and self-reliance? Either way, I'm having faith in something. And this program and my spiritual growth has asked me to be God-reliant instead of self-reliant. You know, reasoning of faith in reasoning doesn't always make the grade. And I am real grateful to have this disease, which ultimately, through desperation, led me to a very viable, vibrant, and life-saving 12-step program that when I work it, the promises come true and my life is so much better. I can live life on life's terms, the good, the bad, the in-between, and for that I'm very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. And I had a brain fart, but I remembered it's Kathleen O, and then followed by Denise, and I didn't get your last initial, Denise, but we'll get it when you come. Kathleen.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. So, yes, this is Kathleen O, recovered in California. And thinking and faith. So, you know, my thinking is what got me in the pickle of being, you know, over 200 pounds, miserable. My thinking is what caused a lot of my own self-inflicted pain and suffering because I thought I knew what you were thinking. I thought I knew what was best for you. And so, you know, I created a lot of havoc in my life with the people that I loved and lived with and worked with and came in contact with. And my thinking is what got me there because, and you know, in my thinking, I thought I knew how to lose weight, you know. My thinking was, oh, well, you know, this new diet's going to work. This will work. That'll work. So when I came and was introduced to this word of faith, of having faith in a power greater than me, it was like, well, what did I have to lose? Well, I had a lot of weight to lose, and I had a lot of headspace that I needed to create for myself that was filled up with so much garbage that I really was pretty miserable. And so to have, you know, to try this concept of, okay, you know, have, you know, a God of my understanding and have faith on that power has been really incredible because when I keep connected with my mind, I mean, I still have a mind, I still can think. When I keep the connection with, you know, the mind, body, and spirit, amazing things have happened in my life. You know, it's like I have freedom from this food that triggers this addiction that I know is never going to go away, but it's fine that it's not because the fact that I have this problem has allowed me to be healthy. You know, I eat healthy now. I don't eat garbage. I mean, I look at that stuff I used to eat and it just seems like poison to me. You know, these Starbucks brings back their pumpkin lattes and everybody brings back the pumpkin that. It's like, I see that stuff and I just think it's poison because it is. And I'm so grateful for that. And also, it's like I've learned to live, to really focus on living in in the present moment, because when I future trip, I can go into fear. When I look on what's in the past, I can have regrets, and I'm wasting valuable time of being able to be useful in life. And that's all because I believe in this power greater than me, and I take that power everywhere I go. I rely on that power, and it gets me through life where I can, at the end of the day, feel like, God, thank you, God, this was a great day, you know? And I'll pass with that. Thank you, Mo.
All right. Thank you, Kathleen O. Denise, followed by Beatrice O. What's your last initial, first initial? Denise B, huh?
Yes,
got
Denise
it.
B. Yeah, hey, Mo. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Denise B. from New York, gratefully recovered. Thank you so much for calling my name. I love this chapter, and because I didn't have any faith, and I was somebody who considered myself agnostic, I think I would say atheist, I would kind of confuse the two. I really just felt like, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing else. And that everybody who believed in, you know, God was just crazy, and that it was similar to like a Santa Claus. But I was very, very desperate, and I had tried every diet, and every diet I made up and every diet that was probably available to kind of combat this problem of compulsive overeating, and nothing worked. And so I did this program out of desperation and said, I'll totally believe. And so when I went through the steps, it really was kind of in a blur, because for me anyway, you know, it went very fast, which I realize it's supposed to. But now when I go back through this big book versus when I went through this chapter, when I was doing the steps, it's like, I feel like I learned something from every paragraph and from working with sponsees, who they have much stronger faith prior to coming into this program than I did. So I learned so much about them. You know, being recovered and having a neutrality around food is something I never thought that would happen. So just that fact alone should help increase my faith. But it's funny, it's like the biggest thing is almost like the smallest thing, because it's all these other changes that have happened for me that give me faith, and that increase my faith, and that have helped me to, you know, become reliant on a higher power. And how lucky am I, you know, to have this power in my life and to get help and to not have to rely on myself for everything and to not feel so alone, because I have access to this, whatever it is. You know, I still don't know. I'll never know. But I know that it does work, and that it gives me a comfort. A couple of days ago, I just had a really tough day, and I was scheduled with work, like back to back to back to back, and there was no time to do a 10th step when I was in the midst of needing to do a 10th step. So I just prayed all day. I mean, who am I? You know, if someone had told me I would be praying all day, you know, I just would have laughed. But that's what this program does. And to be honest, that's what this meeting does, because I hear everyone on this line teaching me about how to incorporate a higher power into my life, and that's what I'm doing, and that's what's working. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Denise B. Beatrice O, followed by Anthony S. Beatrice. Press star one, Beatrice. We can't hear you.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O from Northern California. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Beatrice.
So I really like this paragraph where it says, what was objectively faith to the God of reason? And I had to look up the word objectively, and it means miserable. It means that it's like if you say abject poverty or it means like completely without pride or dignity, self-abasing, groveling.
Your Beatrice, you're cutting in and out.
Okay. One second.
That's better right there.
Okay, this is, anyway, can I be heard now?
Very clearly.
Okay, I'm so sorry. So anyway, abjectly means groveling, pitiful, without pride, or and I was thinking that's the kind of reason. So I was sick with faithful to the God of reason, and so I think that's the way I came in to this program. I thought I knew everything. I had reasoned everything out, and don't you know, I survived. And I had a really big reason to be mad at God. He was my biggest resentment. And how could I turn my life and my will and my food over to Him? You know, I hated the church. I hated religion. I felt like I got the short end of the stick. You know, my mom was a schizophrenic. My sister was a schizophrenic. I was abused. I'd been betrayed. I had married an alcoholic. And so here I am in OA, and I'm going to have some faith in God. Yeah, right. So what I've realized is I had to look at God another way. I had to see where He didn't cause all of this, but man did. And there's a lot of evil in the world, and there's a lot of sick people. And I actually had to direct my faith somewhere else. I had to redirect my life and start focusing on the good that I had in my life, that life force. Because you know what? My wounds were like canals draining the spirit from my life.
Time.
And I guess the last thing I had to start looking at my life with a new pair of glasses and start to be grateful and drop it. I don't need to carry my wounds anymore. It's over. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. I'm a grateful recovering food addict.
All right, thank you. Anthony S., followed by Maureen B. Anthony.
Hi, this is Anthony S. I'm a recovered member of OA. I like how the book refers to God as the God of reason. That's how I understand Him. I happen to be very privileged in my life and have a good academic background, and I always appreciated reason, and it's very compatible with my understanding of the world now due to school. But it's like reason is one of the two important, like, I guess, wings that you have. You know, there's faith and then there's reason. So the reason part, you know, the big book talks about. So I was, like, really unable to stay stopped with the food. Like, every time I'd go into the kitchen, it was, like, almost inevitable that I was going to see something. And just the binge was so bad. It was, like, you'd finish, like, the entire container and then want more. And it would get worse and worse. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I knew that there was something wrong with me from, like, a really early age. And I would tell people about it, and they would say, nope, there's nothing wrong with you. You're completely normal. You know, everybody struggles with this. But I continued to think there was something wrong with me. There was something, you know, that's really wrong with me. And it was because of that thought that I finally arrived in the program where other people feel the same way. You know, that's why we go to the meetings. And I found a sponsor, and he invited me to his apartment and took me through the steps. And after going through the steps with him, being guided, you know, because he had a sponsor at one point who took him through the steps. Then I got recovered. And now I'm trying to do what he did for me. So I'm trying to be available to anybody who would like to go through these steps. If you've been through them in another fellowship, they're the same steps pretty much. I mean, really, just the word alcohol is changed into food. Or, compulsive overeating or compulsive undereating. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So it's the same program, it's just different fellowships. So anyways, so for this fellowship, like, I'm really thankful for having you all here. And I'm especially thankful for any newcomers on the line today. There's a list of people. I know at the end of the meeting, there's like sponsors announced. So if you're interested, just take down a name and number. I'm available. I do actually sponsor men only. Yeah, I mean, it's really a great new life that I'm having. I can't really say more than that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony. And if Maureen B. and Irene B. each take about 2 minutes each, we can fit you both in. Maureen B.?
Hi, thank you. Maureen S. here in New York. Grateful. The first thing that jumps out at me at this reading is, but let us think a little more closely. It doesn't say you need to go on your own and think a little more closely. It says us. And that resonates with me because this is a disease of isolation, and that's just my tendency to isolate, and then I can think an awful lot by myself, which leads me to be doublemint because I always get caught in a rabbit hole. I need to rely on the us in this program and the wisdom of other people and the wisdom in this book and from my higher power. I love the word faith. When I first came into the 12-step room a long time ago, I totally skipped the chapter of agnostics. I saw that and thought, oh, well, I believe in God. You know, I go to church and I'm like the farthest thing from agnostic that could ever exist. And boy, was I wrong. I was so much more agnostic than I ever realized. I was in so much denial about the faith that I thought I had in the God that was packaged for me and told when I was little, this is who God is. This is what God is. This is what he can do for you. This is what he can't. This is what you have to do in order to meet God's requirements. And, of course, I never met those requirements. I could never measure up. And I've totally, totally changed my perception of the God of my understanding through this book and through just surrendering what I thought I knew. I had so much faith in my own faulty thinking, and I had faith in all the wrong things. Most of it was myself, and I was clueless as to that. I remember praying when I was just in the throes of this disease, and like, God, you know, why aren't you answering me? And what it came down to was, God, why aren't you letting me be in control? God, why aren't you letting me get my way?
Time.
Thank you so much for being here. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maureen. Irene B., we got a couple of minutes for you. Irene?
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate your service. Thankful to be in this meeting. Thank you for all the beautiful shares. I love this message of faith because it reminds me that at some point in my life I had to make a decision, a cognitive decision, purely reasonable reasoning that I needed to have faith in God, that I needed to believe, because otherwise the options were just not very good. But I wanted to share that for me, I relied on my reason. I've lived in self-reliance. But more than reason, I wish I would reason more. Because instead of reasoning, which today means get things in proper perspective, I go on reaction. You know, if I reasoned before I reacted, and now assistance program, that would be so much of a better outcome. And there's a part of reason that is very good. And I just wanted to come rescue reason, because reason is not all bad. But if reason gets in the faith, in the way of faith, then it's totally destructive. And that's just my perspective. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. And thank you all who gave service on this meeting, Reggie O., Penny LC, Robin DZ, Leslie M., and Nan K. will be our newcomer greeter. So if you're a newcomer, hang on the line till we stop the recording, and Leslie W. will do our announcements. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Leslie M. please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Teach with that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.